Okay, we're continuing in section 52 in the Revelation Bible study outline on page 48, dealing with the eternal state. And we're on section G, Revelation chapter 21 in verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So here we have some promises to look forward to in the eternal state. There will be no more tears. The divine perspective will be understood and rejoiced in. There will be no more death, as we read in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 6. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. No more tears, no more death, no more infection by original sin. And it's ultimately, it's the sin that causes the death, the sorrow, the crying, and every other evil in this world. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 deals with the infection of original sin. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened. And then in verse 17 through 19, we have the curse. And in verse 19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And then in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, we read, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And skipping down to verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no more death. Our Lord has destroyed death through the power of his death in resurrection. The resurrection is the key. There'll be no more sorrow over sin of self, sin of other, or sin in creation. All of that stuff's gone, and the last vestiges of it were taken care of when the millennial kingdom was replaced by the eternal state. There'll be no more crying, no crying in heaven. There'll be no funerals. Nobody's going to be hurting anybody else. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more disease, no more cancer. None of this stuff which is a result of sin will exist anymore. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5 we read, and then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God decrees a new day, a new way, a great and a better day and way. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6 we read, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. So it is done. The final act of God's creation, redemption of mankind, is now complete. The water of life which Jesus promised back in the Gospel of John chapter 4 and 7 that we can have in measure now, we will enjoy in measure for all eternity. And you know what? Why not take up the challenge of Isaiah now in Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 1, where the cry goes out, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And wine, of course, in the Bible is a symbol of joy, and the milk is the symbol of sustenance, of food. So we're going to have spiritual joy and spiritual sustenance for all eternity. And we can have that living water, which Jesus offered the woman at the well and those who were at the feast back in his day. We can have this same living water now, and we can enjoy the same for all eternity. This is transdispensational truth. For our God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I ask you, have you received the water of life by placing your faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ? If this is just an academic exercise for you, you're going to know a lot of things. But if you end up separated from God in the end, you're not going to enjoy the eternal state. And dear friend, I'll miss you there. Brother, sister, please put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in faith. God has given us the conditions, and the condition is really one. It's very simple. Believe in faith that Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for sin, and you needed him to do that because you're a sinner. And he took all of your sins upon himself so that you can be reconciled to God, so that you can have a place in heaven, so that you can have a place in the eternal state with the Lord forevermore. Revelation chapter 21 in verse 7 reads, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now we read this way back in the early part of this study with regard to overcomers. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" What a blessed promise here. And in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." So we don't have to wait until the eternal state to become children of God. We can be called children of God now. "Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." So we are going to be able to see the Lord God so clearly in this eternal state. I mean, now we got to sift through all of the mod vision, which is in our own eyes because of our sin, and all of the sin that's around us that we got to deal with. We got to keep coming back for communion. And you know, and then that communion gets interrupted again. So we got to go and we got to confess our sins. We repent before the Lord, and we get back up again, and we fight the good fight until we get to the end. And this is the stuff we're looking forward to. We're looking to this eternal state of uninterrupted communion with God, forever and ever and ever. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, we read, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So the eternal life and the habitation with God is contrasted with the fate of the wicked, who instead partake of the second death. And something that we see here, there's not going to be any abominable there. So this gives me a little bit of encouragement, because You know, as a New Englander, I do like the cold and the cold seasons, but, you know, that permanent cold frost is sometimes a problem for me. So that means that the abominable snowman will not be able to survive up there in heaven. So it's not going to be too cold. We're just going to be really, really comfortable with the Lord. I know it's a bad joke, but every time I see abominable, it's just, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sometimes comes to mind. Now, we go in Revelation chapter 21, and before we leave that point, we're talking about people who have who are in habitual sin, who choose those sins over faith in the living God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9 reads, "And one of the angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" So one of the seven angels, and again, we look in within the context of the book of Revelation, and Revelation chapter 15:1, 16:1, and 17:1 talks about seven angels. And in Revelation 15:1 we read, "And then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." So this is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues comes and he talks to John the Apostle. This servant now doesn't have to deal with that stuff anymore. John the Apostle is encouraged, and even these angels, my goodness, holding those seven last plagues, as much as it would pain them, boy, I don't know if they could get rid of them fast enough, you know, all of that sin and horror and terror, and now here we are, we've gotten through it all through the book of Revelation, through all of these awful plagues and things. And we've come to the end of it all, which is a great and glorious ending, a happy ending for the children of God. And he says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And again, this is the church. This is the church saints are the bride of the Lamb. They're the ones who are married to the Lamb. Everybody else comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The rest of the redeemed, but the bride, the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ is the church, and we had taken a look at that in some detail earlier on in this study. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10 we read, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." So the holy Jerusalem in heaven is being brought down from God to supersede the old creation. Revelation 21:1, a new heaven and a new earth. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 11 through Revelation chapter 22 verse 5 in our outline, section 52p, we have 19 characteristics of heavenly Jerusalem in the eternal kingdom. Revelation 21:11, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So the glory of God is there, and it is an exceptionally pure light. And in verse 12, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So there's going to be a great and high wall about the city of New Jerusalem with 12 gates, each attended by an angel, corresponding to each of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So these children of Israel and their tribes, the nation of Israel, be memorialized for all eternity. God's firstborn son, as she is called in the book of Exodus. And in verse 13 we read, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So 12 foundations, foundation stones named after the 12 apostles. So that would be the 11. And then, of course, Matthias, who was chosen by lot in Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 26, to replace Judas Iscariot.